You're listening to KFI AM 640, the Bill Handel Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
And now, Handel on the News. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Bill Handel.
KFI AM 640. Bill Handel here, the morning crew, on a Friday, June 9th. Rather auspicious day. First, I would like to say hello to one and all. Wayne, good morning.
Bill, good morning.
Yes, and good morning.
Morning.
And Tyler, good morning.
Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. And, of course, last but not least, Jennifer, last day here. And, Jen, I've been listening to the last 10 minutes of you saying goodbye and that song they played for you. Absolutely vomitous.
I know,
I
right?
Mean, so cloying, so treacly. Oh, for God's sake, just say goodbye. And then it's you can reach me at because I want to stay in connection with all of you. But I know you mean it.
I do mean it.
Huh?
I do mean it.
I know you do. No, I absolutely know you do. But it's I can't wait. I got to tell you, my last day on the air. First of all, I am not going to give anybody my email, of course not, or contact me. And second of all, it'll be 30 days out before the first segment of What Happened to Bill.
See, but they trusted me and were like, you can have your last hurrah on the air. I think we all know what your last hurrah on the air would be.
Oh, I can't wait.
FCC violation after violation.
Oh, yeah, but then I don't care. Yeah, but at that point, I don't care anymore. But I also have to point out, it's not just you leaving KFI. It's also you leaving being on the air after 30 years.
I think that's the part that's weirding me out the most.
Yeah, no kidding. You start working on a Monday. When do you start at your new radio station?
The 26th. Okay. So I basically have 2 weeks to, 1 week down here to pack up and 1 week to unpack.
Yeah, so a couple of things are going to happen because I have, I've been around when people have left the air, not under these circumstances, but two things. You're going to be able to actually have reasonable hours. You're going to wake up at whatever time. And number two, you're going to walk in your office and you will not go into the studio and it will sound so strange. It will be so strange for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've been told by management that not to mention that you're off the air, that you're leaving. I will be doing that five times a segment. just to
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate it. Handel, I appreciate you. I was telling the listeners off air that the first time I met you, it was with Michelle and it was in Chris Little's office and you sat in Chris's chair and Michelle and I were on the other side. And it was so obvious that you were like, I don't want to work with this chick. She's too happy. You asked me how many packs of cigarettes I smoked a day to get this voice. You were asking me about my dating proclivities. Like it was, you were poking the bear just to see how far you could take me.
And
I stuck with you.
Yeah, I did. And usually I tell people when you get hired, you're not going to last a week. Did I do that with you?
No, actually, you didn't. No,
because you're too big of a pro. Because it's not enough. It's new people you have to do that with. so there's some credibility. Anyway, so today is going to be bittersweet, to say the least. And, let's just move on. And enjoy yourself. And we're going to have a good time with you today. And
Monday
is going to be a very different day. All right, let's do it, guys. Handel on the News, Wayne, Jennifer, and me, lead story. Well, something that, no surprise, we knew this was going to happen, and that is Donald Trump has in fact been indicted by the grand jury on seven counts in that special counsel classified documents probe. This has to do with the Mar-a-Lago documents, and it's seven counts, violation of the Espionage Act, obstruction of justice, destruction or falsification of records, conspiracy, false statements. I mean, you add all that together. I'm surprised we haven't heard. And if he's convicted on all counts, he's going to do 486 years in jail. A lot of these are very serious. And then I think there's going to be a conviction. And then what happens? And I'm going to talk more about that, obviously, at 7 o'clock, because the ramifications of this one just go on and on and on. And it's good news. Normally, when you get indicted, it's not particularly good news. It is good news for Donald Trump in the short run. And I will dive more into that coming up at 7.
All right. So he says this is not a change to the Second Amendment. It is simply four different new rules that the governor would like to add to the Constitution. So Governor Newsom is proposing the 28th Amendment. And he said the gun lobby says we can't stop the carnage America now experiences every day without violating the Second Amendment. And so he said that's a lie. So what it would do is there are these four gun measures in it that would include raising the minimum age to buy a gun to 21. It would mandate universal background checks. Also, it would have a two-thirds majority vote in the U.S. House of Representatives or the Senate in order to get the constitutional amendment to go forward. He claims, and I don't know if this is true or if this is just his line of thinking, he claims that this it has bipartisan support.
Yeah, he's crazy. That he's nuts, for one thing. Second of all, the amendment, in fact, does change the Constitution. That's the whole point of amendments. Second of all, or third of all, federal law can do the same thing. But you just need a Supreme Court that is going to uphold that. Is that a violation of the Second Amendment? And with this court, yeah, you probably wouldn't need an amendment. But it is something that is worth talking about because you need two-thirds of the state legislatures. You need two-thirds of both houses of Congress. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, when's the last, well, the 27th Amendment, that was hilarious. I don't know why you needed 27th and the poll tax. I mean, there hasn't been a legitimate earth-shaking amendment in years and years. And I think at some point we should, I don't even know if it's worth talking about. Probably not. I don't want to do a segment on it because it's just not going to happen. It's just Newsom spouting.
A high school teacher from Placentia has been placed on leave after complaints about one of her anatomy and physiology lessons. The teacher at El Dorado High School is accused of discussing the this should be a parental advisory, by the way. 3, 2, get the kids out. 1, discussing the prostate and its role in providing sexual pleasure, and also allegedly discussed anal sex and sex toys being sold at popular retailers like Target. Video got out. Some parents were outraged. Other parents say it's all appropriate health and sex awareness education. And the teacher's on leave. Who knows what's going to happen next to her?
Here's a question I have. I'm looking at the story, and I'm a little confused because if you look at the first line of the story, it is a video of her anatomy. Her anatomy is what the story says. Like, was she on the cover of Gynecology Today? I don't get this.
When you were learning to read, did they tell you about reading all the words in a sentence until the period? Because right. It says leave after her anatomy and physiology lesson was online.
Yeah, well, maybe.
See, when you read all my
words, that's where my mind goes. Unfortunately, that's where my mind goes, and you caught me where my mind goes, unfortunately. Where my mind goes. What was common denominator?
A room we have all been locked in many times.
Okay. And by the way, it's, sex toys, I don't know. You know, I mean, you go that far in a sex education class? I don't know.
It might be a wrinkle that they're saying that she didn't just start talking about it apropos of nothing, that it was in response to a specific question from one of the students. Whether that makes it not as offensive, I don't know.
All right. The governor's office has announced 44 statewide drought and flood projects, and it looks like a total of about $88 million that'll go to increase the water supply, fight any flooding that we might have, expand water storage and conservation initiatives. So it's $217 million for that, plus an additional $71 million that'll be used to respond to local drought impacts. I just let you know my favorite part of this one is the water storage part. I think that's been my biggest frustration over the years is even when we have an El Nino year like this year and it's just crazy and we get all this water, how much of it are we actually keeping? and using for the future?
Almost none. And if you look at the water drainage system, the LA River or the water drainage and the Sepulveda Dam, and only in times of massive rain are they even used. So the city planners did a pretty decent job of when it floods, the water leaves the Los Angeles area. But not they didn't think of water retention. It never even occurred to anybody. And you're absolutely right. That's a big flaw in the system.
Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass has tested positive for COVID-19, canceled a couple of events that she had scheduled yesterday, says she's feeling fine, will work from home, and follow public health guidelines.
Well, she's been vaccinated and boosted and did everything she's supposed to do. And keep look at this.
Nobody ever said you won't get it, but notice that she feels fine.
Yep. And the same thing happened. I think it happened to me. Well, I tested positive and I didn't know it was equivocal. So I don't know if it was really positive or not. But again, no symptoms. My daughter had COVID. My daughter, Barbara, no symptoms. That's the good news with boosting and being inoculated.
Yep. All right. There we go. Clarence. Oh, wait. That's not me. Sorry. It's the Voting Rights Act in the Supreme Court. It was a decision yesterday that the High Court ended up siding with black voters. This is the one who had challenged Alabama's congressional map as illegal gerrymandering based on racism. And the court passed up a chance to further narrow the scope of the Voting Rights Act. And it was a 5-4 decision. And I think it's the people who voted for it that people were shocked. Because Justice Roberts, okay, the Chief Justice, he's been one who is on the fence. But you had conservative Justice Brett Kavanaugh as one of the five who voted for this. And that I think it was him who was the big surprise vote.
Look at that map. Okay, here's what the state did. Gerrymandering is whenever every 10 years they follow the census and they redraw the congressional maps, the district maps. That's what the state does. And gerrymandering is moving it where you can't even figure out what areas it is. And it goes in and out and it looks like a jigsaw puzzle.
Right.
And so you'll see you have this map and there's peninsulas in there. And those are for the most part black districts. And that district, they've given up. That's going to be a black district. There's no question about it. This is a conservative state. Okay. But 1 out of 7. So the whites control 6 out of 7, even though 30% of the state is black. If that isn't racism on its face, I don't get it. And at least the Supreme Court, 2 justices said, yeah, you're right. Who otherwise you would not think so. The liberals, there's no issue. Clarence Thomas, of course, blistering dissent. You can't get involved in this. The states have absolute power. That's what the Constitution says. So he says, under the Constitution, you can be as racist as you want because the state has absolute power. You know what he would say is if the states determine that minorities can't vote, he would uphold that. I'm convinced about that. Let's move on.
All right. That brings us to story 8 about the government suing.
Sorry. So the government.
California Edison.
For $40 million because of the role that it played in the 2017 Creek Fire. It said SCE breached its duty of care and was negligent in causing the Creek Fire, including failure to construct, maintain, and operate power lines and equipment. This sounds so much like lawsuits that have been filed against PG&E up north for its line starting fires and the lack of maintenance and that kind of thing. Did you guys hear me? By the way, yesterday I did the story on PG&E. It apparently has 170,000 projects in high risk fire areas that will not be completed anytime soon, but before the fire season starts. So you look at PG&E, you look at SoCal Edison, and they have major problems that there's no way they're going to be able to fix. And then it's probably likely that we'll see more lawsuits just like this.
Oh, well, you'll see settlements like crazy. Yeah. Your utility bill is going to go through the roof just because of the cost of the settlements. I think you get to the point where they're going to spray asbestos around every single power pole just to make sure that the brush doesn't ignite. I mean, it's just...
You know, I literally chose my house up north based on the electricity. So you can either do PG&E or you can be a part of City of Reading. City of Reading, like you talk about Burbank having its own.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If you can get into an area that is not SoCal Edison, or you don't have to be taken care of by that, your bills can be hundreds of dollars less.
Oh, yeah. Department of Water and Power, LA.
That's it.
Half
yes.
the price of Con Edison.
Yep.
All right. Wayne, let's do a fake news story, none of which is true. Can we do that?
Oh, I see what you're getting at. Let me ask you something. Do you have a Diet Coke next to you right now?
I do not. I have actually.
Do you know from memory, since you love Diet Coke so much, which artificial sweetener is used in Diet Coke?
You know what? I don't know if it is the Splenda. Is it sucralose? I don't know.
It is not. You are safe from this next
store. Except, what do you see?
Well, that's a Snapple.
It is a Diet Snapple.
What is it? Look at the label and tell me what it's sweetened with, please.
It says Bill should not use this. It's sucralose.
Okay, well, then that's why you don't want this story to be real.
That's correct.
Research out of North Carolina State University says sucralose, which is the chemical found in Splenda, is genotoxic. It means that it can damage your DNA, raise the risk of cancer, and cause leaks in the lining of your gut.
Yeah.
Bill.
I don't buy it.
That's why you guys should drink this.
Mountain Dew, no.
Yeah, I'm sure Mountain Dew is way healthier.
It's Mountain Dew. It has aspartame in it.
That's even worse. How about saccharin? And there was, I think this is all myth. I really do. I mean, there was a myth that first started that if you drink enough Splenda, your scrot falls off.
Wow.
I don't believe any of this.
Because I'm
Although
pretty
sitting
sure
in
that
chairs
wasn't real.
Has become a lot more comfortable for you, hasn't it?
Hey, remember that time that aliens crashed into your backyard? Well, a couple called 911 and claimed that a UFO crashed in the backyard. But wait, there's more. There were also 8-foot little creatures inside, or really tall creatures. According to ABC News, there was a family in Vegas who called 911 on the 1st of May and said that yes.
No, that's too long.
It's too long. 8 feet is too long.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were live. It was, Tyler has audio on this of the call, but it runs almost a minute.
So, oh, got it.
That was it. That's what I meant.
Okay. But the family says, we see in the corner of our eye something fall down out of the sky, and it was lights, and when it hit, there was a big impact, and we felt like an energy. Then we hear little footsteps, and then we have, like, big equipment. And there's an 8-foot person beside it, and another one's inside, and it has big eyes, and it's looking at us. And they're not human, so officers went to the house. Hey, guess what? There was nothing there when they got there.
Yeah. You know what the point of this story is? Is that it's all the reason in the world to not have cops show up at stuff like this.
God bless America.
What a waste of time.
How much taxpayer money was sent on wackadoos in Vegas seeing if they could get cops to respond? That's fantastic.
Some truckers are mad because LA is ending the as-needed haul truck program that's been running since the 1890s. The city saying they have to stop it because of changes in California law that make it harder to classify workers as independent contractors. What I can glean from this article, which does not do anybody the service of explaining any of this, is that this is some kind of program where they can call people, truckers in to haul stuff on an as-needed basis, and that they would like to classify them as independent contractors. And now that they are afraid they can't, that they're getting rid of the program.
Yeah. This was started before trucks. It's a trucking program when there were no trucks.
Yeah, it used to be called the as-needed haul mule program.
Congress has a new bill that's going to strip the PGA Tour's tax-exempt status. Now, how much do you think this has to do with the PGA's recent merger with LIV Golf, which
All
is Saudi-backed?
All of it.
100%.
Exactly. So they're just saying now that I think it was Garamendi, right, who's our guy, who says no corporate tax exemptions for professional sports acts. All right.
And I don't think are there other leagues that are not for-profit? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
There may be one or two, but they're very, very minor sports. Obviously, none of the big leagues are.
Right. Yeah.
Although you know that the NFL was nonprofit status up until 2015.
I didn't know that. And first of all, everybody was shocked at the merger.
But here's
the problem. The PGA is looking at a competing league in which they're offering the top golfers $700 million, $800 million to play. How do you compete against that? You don't. So you join forces. And now I'm willing to bet that the purses are going to get a whole lot bigger.
You mean you become a wholly owned subsidiary of Saudi Arabia?
Yeah. But the purses are going to become a whole lot bigger. That's correct.
Yes.
That's correct. That the winners, not only are they going to receive the trophy and the money, but they're going to have to wear the keffiyeh. You know, that head business with the little band.
The beaches that are run by the city of San Clemente in San Clemente will be closing 2 hours earlier than previously. They will be closing at 10. This partly something they've been looking at for a long time and partly accelerated by the assault of three Marines over there that was caught on video. In any event, it's not that big a deal, I think, because all the surrounding beaches, including the other beaches in San Clemente that are operated by the state parks, they all those beaches already close at 10. This was really an outlier, this beach staying open past 10. And as soon as they get all the signs up, which they think they'll have done by the 21st, boom, that's when the beach will be officially closed at 10. And they say they're going to hire private security to try to keep it safer over there.
Yeah, well, after the beating, the vicious beating of that Marine by, 20 people. Were they gangbangers, by the way? I think they were, weren't they?
I don't know that for sure, but there were three Marines.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I
misspoke.
Attacked. Yeah, right. I don't know. This is the craziest story to me. The Salton Sea may be what can reduce the frequency of earthquakes because the Salton Sea is shrinking. And so they say that this would reduce stress on the San Andreas Fault, which could then reduce the frequency and severity of earthquakes in Southern California. Have you been to the Salton Sea?
I have not. Have you?
Yes.
Salty? And
very. But you know what's weird is you get out of the car. And first off, it's got kind of an ominous, you know, you've been to a place where there's a bad vibe. It has a bad vibe to it. But the weirdest part is as you start to walk toward the shore, there are mummified fish skeletons all over the place, dead birds all over the place. And it's just this, you feel the death around this place, which used to be, you know, this thriving tourist attraction. And now that whole area is just creepy.
Sounds great.
Oh, yeah, it was really fun.
I would
totally go back.
I have not.
Very weird.
I haven't either, though nobody asked.
I meant both of you. Have you been collectively?
No, I'm not allowed to go because I don't like ayahuasca. Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen had a meeting with the U.S.-China Business Council. That's a group that promotes trade between, can you guess which two countries? And the board includes the CEOs of FedEx and Pepsi, Walmart and Ford, amongst others. And she said that, hey, the government of the U.S. says we want to work with China on global challenges and economic trade. And you got to wonder if she had to say that because these bigwigs at these big companies are saying, hello, we're not making enough money from dealing with China. Why are you guys not letting us?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of geopolitics here, and that is, I mean, enormous because we are so interconnected. I mean, it is a global economy. And when it's this bad in terms of relations with, I'm talking about economic, well, just in general, when we're talking about international relations, it's bad with Russia, it's bad with China, and it's just a mess while there's still trade. For example, there's still cooperation at the ISS. There is still cooperation when it comes to terrorism. But financially, matter of fact, the next story sort of points out what some of the problems are.
All right. See, now, this story, it goes against a couple other stories that I've read. But China and Cuba apparently have reached the secret agreement for China to come up with an electronic eavesdropping facility on the island. Now, in this story, it says that the U.S. officials described the intelligence on the planned Cuba site as convincing. But then I've read two stories this morning that say, no, U.S. officials are shooting down the report of a Chinese spy base being built in Cuba.
Yeah, let's take a moment in history, 1962.
Okay.
The Cuban Missile Crisis. Russia, not China, is sending nuclear tip missiles into Cuba. The relationship between Khrushchev and Castro. And we almost came to World War III. That's the closest we ever have come, I mean, within days. And this is where history repeats itself, except we're not talking nuclear weapons. We're not talking the kind of confrontation, but man, it sure smells very, very similar. We do not, and if they do put in secret listening devices, what does the United States do at that point? It's a lot of negotiation. Tell you what's not going to be served at those lunches when they meet, either hamburgers or Chinese food. It's going to be some kind of neutral food. They'll serve up pizzas.
No, go Switzerland. Yeah, be totally neutral and do the Swedish meatballs. Or that's what I meant. Sweden, not Switzerland. Sweden. Anyway.
What, you're going to meet at IKEA?
Didn't you and Neil Saavedra used to go there?
Yeah, love their meatballs. Yeah.
So weird. All right. So China is seeing the biggest trade increase with Russia in 2023. This is according to some new Chinese customs data. It was published on Wednesday of this week that says $42.96 billion has been exported to Russia since January of 2023, which is over 75% of an increase compared to last year.
Yeah, another story about the geopolitical story, and this is a result of our bad relations with China.
Two things kind of dealing with the economy. One, GM is going to join Ford in adopting Tesla's charging connector standard. It's called the North American Charging Standard. So we're getting closer to there being one universal charging connection for anybody's cars, which is probably a smart and fair for the consumer idea, seems to me. That way, every charging station can charge every car. Otherwise, how can you build out the infrastructure and switch to
electric? You can now with adapters if you have a Tesla, but it's not the same. And you're right. It's a different system. And this has to go by way of the cassette when the entire world of sound manufacturers went to a universal platform. And that was the cassette, and just makes all the sense in the world.
And then the other thing is, I guess officially we are in a bull market. The S&P 500 rallied yesterday and puts us in bull market territory. But also part of a bull market, I believe, is that it's also expected that the stock market will continue to go up.
Yeah,
so does that mean, like, how do you know officially when enough people now expect that the stock market will continue to rise to say it is technically a bull market?
Well, it's the bull market is when the stock goes up, it has gone beyond the highest point. And a bear market is when it is down below that figure, when it goes below the highest point, I think per year, if I'm not mistaken. We should ask Jason Middleton. And but it's a line in the sand. That is. I mean, it's 2 points. You hit that point, you go beyond it. Okay, now what? It's basically artificial. But, it gives us something to feel good about. We do a lot of that. We're done, guys. All right. Coming up, Donald Trump indicted on 7 counts. And this one has to do with that classified documents probe with the documents at Mar-a-Lago. I'll get into that a little bit when we come back. This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You've been listening to The Bill Handel Show. Catch my show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. and anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.